So welcome to the class. I'm glad you're all here. Please feel free to fill in the paper as we go along with what we talk about, or if there's stuff that comes to your mind before we start talking about it, just feel free to put in whatever you think of on those questions that I wrote down. First of all, how many of you struggle with procrastination? Oh boy. So I want you to notice that my hand is up also, and it was kind of funny when one of my former students heard that I had this class. He thought that was hilarious because, well, he was in my room for 4 years, I think, and he kind of knows some of my tendencies, and sometimes my tendency is to procrastinate. How many saw the picture out on the wall in the hallway right outside this door that talks about procrastination? Should check it out if you haven't seen it. It's kind of an interesting little picture. But it's been good for me to look at this subject because I think God knew it's something that I needed to look at, to study a little bit. How many of you would say procrastination is good? What about bad? Okay, there's a saying that says, I always wanted to be a procrastinator, but I never got around to it. That's a little bit humorous, but there's a little deeper meaning there that can kind of bite us a little bit when we think about it. So a couple quotes from various places. Well, I wrote a couple down on your handout. Another one that really is kind of impressive to me, it says, one of the very worst uses of time is to do something very well that need not be done at all. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, how sometimes when we're procrastinating, we're just putting off doing something. We're putting off doing something important by filling up the time with a lot of unimportant stuff. Another quote says, the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on your most important task, to do it well, and to finish it completely is the key to great success, achievement, respect, status, and happiness in life. Okay, so from you, first of all, why do we procrastinate? What do you think? Because the other room was full. Okay, that works. The task is unpleasant. Yes. What else? Right.
Probably for me, it's I lack self-discipline, lack enough self-discipline.
Okay. Lack self-discipline.
I have to go along the line of choosing when a job, I don't really want to do that, it needs to be done, but I don't have self-discipline.
Right. By the way, these three questions up on the board, we'll make sure and get answers to them at the end of the class. Don't let me forget. What else? Why do we procrastinate?
Because there's something more fun to do, right?
Something more fun to do. Right.
Not enough time.
Not enough time. Great. You don't have to live life very long to realize that there's a lot of stuff to do in life. And you don't have to teach very long to realize that there is a lot of stuff to do when you teach, and a lot more stuff to do than you usually have time to do. And sometimes you get the hamster wheel effect where you just feel like you're running and running and running, but you're just staying there at the same place, not getting anywhere. Forward progress seems to be minimal, but you're still wearing yourself out. Somebody mentioned some things are just not fun, just don't enjoy them as much. I would like to propose that sometimes our students have that same feeling. You may notice that a certain student always takes home a certain subject, always, because that's just what they don't get done at school. Now, when you present them with their assignments for the day, there's stuff that looks fun and there's stuff that doesn't look fun. And most likely, if they're normal humans, they're going to put off what they don't like to do till the end of the day. And if I'm really honest with myself, a lot of times that's how I can approach tasks too. But the difference is I'm expecting my students to get this done in the time they're at school, while I don't always have that restriction. And so I kind of have a little bit more liberty to do it as I feel like it, but that's not really a good thing, and I don't think it's a very good example to my students. Another thing, we don't always see it as urgent that we get this done. Don't always see it as urgent. Other things seem to be more important. Notice I said seem to be. That can be a tricky thing sometimes. Sometimes it's just plain the fact that we're lazy. And I know that kind of stomps on toes a bit. Can, for me at least. But it doesn't take us very long in life to realize that we as people are kind of inherently lazy. We just like stuff to be easy, not hard. It also may be a habit in our lives that we've developed over the course of however many years we've been living. Habits are hard to break, and they don't...
Excuse me, is Ruthie Copeland's in here? Because you're the one that needs the ride, correct? Is the one who was going to give the ride in here? I don't know what her name is either. Okay, I'll get you guys hooked up.
So it might be a habit. Habits get formed by doing something again and again and again and again. They're hard to break, and they normally don't just break automatically. It takes some serious effort. And we're going to talk about some ways we can get on top of that a little bit later, if it has become a habit in your life or in my life. Another thing I would suggest is that the reason procrastinating can be so easy is because we're so accustomed to the way we live life now. We are in a time when there's just these snippets of information that come and come and come, and the ability to sit down and concentrate on one thing for an extended period of time is hard, and it's getting harder, it seems like, the longer we go in this, the world that we're in now. Especially if that task is something that you don't want to do, something that you're not very excited about. So I believe that it's linked somewhat to technology and the fast pace that we live our lives at now. Okay, any more from you? What are some other... we're looking at why we procrastinate. Anything else that came to your mind?
Along with some of the others, but just wrong priorities.
Wrong priorities. Mm-hmm. Yes. More. Okay, let's look at the next section, which is what are the penalties of procrastinating, which is actually the topic, the title of this topic, the penalties of procrastinating. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In Matthew 25, we have the story about the sheep and the goats being divided before God, and it seems to me as though those people must have been procrastinating in a way of as far as doing good to the people around them. They didn't realize how important it was to treat the people kindly that they were with right then. And they reaped some serious consequences, a serious penalty for procrastinating. The Bible's full of warnings to sinners to not procrastinate. Do it now. Make sure you repent now. Do it now. That's obviously the most important penalty, the first and foremost penalty that can come from putting off the things we should be doing. Now, we're going to talk about some penalties that might come up in our classrooms. What are some things that come to your mind? What are penalties that you might face if you procrastinate? Or you can talk about other people, too, if you want to talk about other people instead of you. Right. Constantly feeling unprofitable and worthless.
And I know this was the reason that we put down as why we procrastinate, but it's one of the penalties. There just isn't enough time.
There isn't enough time.
And it makes it compounds it all.
Right.
It's panicky feelings.
Panicky feelings. Really? Yeah, we've all had those.
Which makes it short-tempered and ambitious.
Right. Yes, especially on the mornings when you are running behind and it's 8:55 and school starts at 9 and get a phone call and your students are trickling in. Yeah. What else comes to your mind on penalties?
Well, I know this one happened to me 1 year, and I don't know exactly all the details surrounding this one, but one morning, a parent came to talk to me right before school, and I was getting ready to start the day out. I think I said hi to them, but that's all I said, and they walked away feeling like I didn't want to talk to them. I don't know if that's because I was procrastinating. I probably was.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that I was rushing while they were not trying to get everything I needed before school started.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was kind of...
Right. So it can affect the way others feel about us, or yeah, the way we appear to others.
Along that same line, if you procrastinate and get ready for school, you don't have time for your students.
Right.
You
know, right. Yes, I remember hearing, I think it was Jonathan Erb, say how he tried as hard as he could to be ready for the day when his students first walked in the door so that he could spend time just talking with them and checking up on the news from home. I don't know what all he would talk to them about, but that's what he tried really hard to do. It's a very good goal to have. We really lose efficiency when we procrastinate. There's an interesting law, I don't know if it's really a law, but it's a rule that says, it's called the 20-80 rule, and it says this, that you will get 80% of the results you want from just 20% of the tasks you thought you had to accomplish. You'll get 80% of the results that you want from just 20% of the tasks you thought you had to accomplish. I'm not going to say that's Bible truth, but they've done studies in businesses and just in the world in general that have given credence to that law or that rule. But I do know this. Well, basically that's saying that we end up wasting our time on 80% of the stuff that we do, 80% of it we're wasting our time. We don't need to do it. It's just the 20% that's important. It'd be interesting for you to go through your life and decide what things you need to get done and then look at 20% of them and see if those 20% could actually get everything done that you need to. I would be interesting to know what you come up with on that. But as we said at the beginning, it's really easy for a lot of really small, trivial things to all of a sudden be really important because we've got this big thing that has to be done, but I don't want to do it. And oh yes, I need to go get more pencils, or I need to go wash the chalkboard, or I just don't feel like doing this other thing that's hanging over me.
I'd rather
go talk with your co-teachers. Yes, and the quote that I read at the beginning, one of the very worst uses of time is to do something very well that need not be done at all. Stress levels go up when we procrastinate. We've already talked a little bit about that. They just do. You don't have the satisfaction of knowing that you're working on that one task that you've been avoiding. And you won't enjoy life as much. just won't, because there's always that thing in the back of your mind. It'll be harder to relax. You will lose respect from your students if it continues, because, as I said, we expect our students to fit into the schedule that we give them. We expect them to get a certain amount of work done. And I really don't see how it's possible for me as a teacher to be handing out assignments to students and expecting them to do stuff when I'm always scrambling around at the last minute to get stuff done. It just doesn't go together in my mind. It doesn't seem consistent. Now, I know that our human tendency is to justify ourselves. Well, I have more responsibilities in life than my students. What about my church responsibilities? I have to have some time off school, right? Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of room for those questions, but I do not think that that justifies us always procrastinating and putting stuff off, not sticking to our word. One thing that I have done that just personally for me to make me a little bit accountable to my students. So say we're talking about program practice. That's a classic one for me that I always put off and don't get started on it as soon as I want to. But I try to give them a certain time. So Monday, whatever date, we're going to start program practice on that day. And it might mean that I just have one song ready that I know we're going to sing, but we're going to start on that day. That way it gives me something that I have to make sure I keep my word. But when we make excuses, we're just, in my mind, all I'm doing is deflecting the responsibility to someone other than myself, when it really should just be me, on me. Haphazard might describe your classroom if you end up procrastinating a lot. This connects some with what we've been talking about already. But order, routine, classes, art projects, other school activities besides the bookwork, those are all not going to get produced very well if there's a lot of procrastinating going on. And trust me on this, if you haven't taught before, you'll figure that out fast. You'll end up spending less time with your family if you live at home, or with your church family if you don't. You'll just end up spending less time with people around you besides your students. And I really believe it's important to interact with people outside of school. And if you're always busy because you're procrastinating, then you won't have that opportunity as much. You won't feel like you can take the time off to go do something like that because you have so much to do. But maybe, just maybe, some of those pressing things could have been done if I had gotten over my habit of procrastination. Ouch. That one stings a little bit sometimes. Along with that point, if you have this habit of not getting the work done, then you're going to have a harder time reaching out to the people around you in the church community that you're in. You're going to have a harder time serving your church family in other ways besides teaching school. And you might feel like, because you're a teacher, you're servant enough. And I'll let you make that call. But I really believe it's a benefit if you can help out with service opportunities in the community, such as street meetings or serving lunch at a rescue mission or singing at the nursing home, raking leaves for someone. The list could be on it, could go on and on. And I really, you're going to gain respect and acceptance with your church that you're in if you are able to take time to do that. They're going to really feel like you're doing your best to fit in and learn to know their culture and their community. And also, if you have youth age students, you're going to have to answer to them if you never show up to youth things. You just will. Because they will ask. And also with that, they're going to notice what things you come to and what things you don't. If you're always the first one there to the volleyball game, but then you never show up to the street meetings, well, think about it. Think about that. What other penalties came to your mind that we might have in relation to this whole thing of procrastinating? Any more that we didn't talk about yet? Right.
What makes it really tough to find is because you want those hours of sleep that you're supposed to get as a teacher, but you got this work that has to be done tomorrow.
Right.
And you didn't get it done the night before, so you go to bed, and in the morning you're like, I gotta get to school, get that done, so you do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yep.
You lose your
devotional time.
Vitality.
Mm-hmm. Good. More. It is. It doesn't work long term. It might work for a week, it might even work for 2 weeks, but as I said in another one of the workshops, at some point you're going to come up against something that the only way to move forward is if you have your relationship with God, and He's the only one that's going to give you the power to get over that, get past it. Any more? Okay, let's talk about now how we can get over this thing. Because we've all admitted, most of us at least, admitted that it's kind of a problem in life. And we struggle with it. How can we shake the habit? And how can we form new habits that will help us to be beneficial? I want to hear from you first. What comes to your mind? What are good ways, or maybe ways that have worked for you in helping to at least try to get over this thing of procrastinating?
My mother is by no means perfect, but she had one of her strong points, it might be her weak point too, I don't know, is she gets a lot done. And she will often tell me, well, just get started with it. Go do it. And it won't take very long if you just really get it. And that's the way she operates. It can be a little hard for her to sit still. He's still in
right.
But Dad has learned a lot from her. And one of the things Dad found recently that is, I think, really good. If you eat a frog, first thing every morning, the rest of your day will go better. And I guess you guys can interpret that fairly.
We'll talk a bit more about frogs. Because that is in the title, or that is in the description of this workshop. Thank you. Just start. Man, that's really important.
That's what David's saying, is get married to help.
Get married.
Honestly, that's been a big help for me. Sometimes
okay.
I'll be after school for like 2 hours. Like a whole noise, like, or I'll be like, I gotta go back tomorrow. What did you do after school?
Right.
talk.
Right.
But no, I'm not saying
that. Well, it holds you accountable for what you do. Yes.
Personally, myself, so I hate checking bedtime. It's just, uh-huh. I don't know why we have it, but anyway.
Yeah.
And so the books stack up on the shelf, and they'll be there, a week sometimes. So
right.
But one thing that has helped me is to, streamline your checking if you can,
mm-hmm.
or you can.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped me a lot, I don't have to spend, all the time
right.
on one book.
Streamline a bit.
Streamline it. And that has helped me a lot, I don't look at it as such a drag anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's some subjects where you can do that more than others.
Yes.
That has helped me. And another thing, like you said, set a time that,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell my students sometimes on purpose for myself, okay, so Monday morning they will be checked,
Right.
And then I have to make sure.
Right. Right. Yes.
I make lists that helps me remember the lessons I want to get done.
Yeah. Yeah. Lists are so fun because you can cross stuff off. It's great. And I've even heard of people taking it so far as to write something down that they did already so that they have the privilege of crossing it off. But along with that, I mentioned the other day about incentives. When you complete a task, they've done studies that show that it releases endorphins in your brain and it gives you a good feeling. And you want to repeat that good feeling. So it's a motivator. Just think about that. And maybe there is some value to write stuff down and cross it off, even if you haven't finished already. Mm-hmm. Thank you. More.
Well, here's a really practical one. Just drop a sheet of blow on your toe. someone mentioned about why we procrastinate, is that just because we're plain lazy?
Mm-hmm.
know, sometimes we're tempted to think, man, if I could just sit in a recliner and do nothing for how long, how great that would be, trust me, I've been there. You almost, you know, your mind starts going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And poor mom and Allison in the house with me. So finally, even though I don't know that I really wanted to, it's like, well, work on school stuff, at least do something profitable, and you know, that dropping to see the plow on my toe, it helped me to get started on a couple of things I wanted to get done before the school year was out. And once I got started on it, I suddenly realized I had a lot of fun in doing this the rest
yeah.
of the time, but the start wasn't really fun.
Right.
The rest of it was great, except for the broken toe part. But
yeah.
So, try that, man.
I'll come to WFTI next year with boots on. Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe then you should ask. Maybe you should ask God to figuratively drop the plug on your toe to wake you up.
It could be many things that he could do to wake you up. It wouldn't have to be plywood on the toe. There is a book titled Eat That Frog. Have any of you read it? Okay, that, I think, I didn't ask the board, but I believe that's where the, in the description of this class, it says, it is not always wrong to put a disliked task off to another time, but we will take a look at how we can eat that frog now. And it's kind of like what David was talking about. I would recommend reading it. It's quite interesting. He presents a lot of stuff connected with the business world and work, but a lot of it would connect with teaching as well. But it presents 21 different ways that we can eat the frogs that face us each day. Now, he says in there that you should do the worst job first. And his way of putting it is, if you have two frogs to eat, eat the ugliest one first. The biggest and ugliest one is the one you should eat first. That's the first rule of frog eating. If you have to eat two frogs, eat the ugliest one first.
What if they're both ugly?
What if they're both ugly? Well, then I guess you just flip a coin. Or you could do what one of my friends does. He flips a coin sometimes and then he'll do the opposite. Because if he flips a coin and he's happy with what it comes out with, then he knows that's what he wanted to do. If he flips a coin and he's sad about what it comes out with, then he knows he wanted to do the other thing anyway. So, interesting thought. He'll probably listen to this recording. But that thing of eating the ugliest frog first is not something that comes naturally to us. It's just not the easiest thing to do. But I would venture to guess that we all know the feeling of eating that ugly frog, so to speak, and the good feeling that comes, the satisfied, successful feeling that comes after you did it. What else comes to your mind about ways we can break this thing? Reasonable goals and sticking to them.
I know I've already made this huge list, but it's not even reasonable.
Right.
There's no way I can
right.
eat, sleep, and do all these things.
Right. Yeah. And that's even something you can encourage in your students, is to make goals and try to help them see that they don't have to make big goals. They could make a goal that for this month, my goal is to get better at figuring out what 9 times 6 is. Or figuring better out what nouns are, or something really small. That I like doing that. It's not something I've done as much as I'd like to do, but it gets them thinking, and it's something to push to for them to look ahead to, and that's good for later in life too. More.
Maybe we'll at least try to get enough sleep.
Try to get enough sleep. That is a major challenge, and I have not found all the answers, but it's a very good ideal to have. And it's something that you should work towards.
I've heard some, in regard to the sleep thing, I've heard some people say, you really need to set a quitting time.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I didn't find that this past year. It was my first year teaching. I just worked as long as I needed to. There were times when I found I was too tired to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous to try. How do you do that?
How do you set a quitting time?
Yeah, if you're spending 14 hours a day at school, you can't really sustain that and be inspirational.
Right. Well, I mean, the easy answer is just set the time and quit. But that doesn't answer what you're supposed to do then with all the work that you're expected to get done.
Well, is part of that just an overload of maybe even the school or the school board expecting too much?
It can be.
You know, it's too big of a load put on
right.
you, and then it's not really a fault.
One thing that I'm not sure why it took me this long to figure it out, but I just started doing some checking in class last year. And that made a tremendous difference in checking after school. Like, I kind of have this selfish thing that I like to check my students' work because it helps me see what they're doing, and it really does help to see what they're doing and what they need to work on. But the just the plain and simple fact of having 6 math books or whatever already graded, all you have to do is, they're already checked, all you have to do is write the grade on the top. Well, over the course of time, that saves you a lot of work time. And I want to experiment more with that this coming year. Another thing that's really tough for me in that is delegating responsibilities to students. I like doing stuff myself sometimes, and I should let them do. There's some stuff they could do always, and they wouldn't have to be, it doesn't take up your time then. What are some other thoughts on that that have worked for you for minute? Because you just spend a lot of time at school, and I'll quit talking.
I'm not sure this answers the question. Somehow I think it does, but I'm not quite sure the answer is. Maybe it doesn't. But when I first started teaching, the principal of the school who had taught for, I think that year was the 17th year, if I remember right, gave me a piece of paper. I get this kind of leads to quitting time table. Gave me a piece of paper. And the piece of paper was a hour-by-hour, maybe even minute-by-minute schedule of the day for a teacher, where it put in everything that a person needs in a day. 8 hours of sleep, you know, checking time, less preparing time, exercise time, time to be just doing something you enjoy doing. And at the end, when you total up the hours, end up 33 hours a day. And his point with that was, sometimes you just simply have to say, I'm done at school for this evening. I'm just leaving. When I'm going to get this stuff done, I don't know exactly. But I'm not being productive right now. I need to go do something else. To get that productivity back, I'm just done. And I mean, one way I did that was I set a time. I told myself, I am going to be left by 9 o'clock every evening. Unless there's something else going on in the evening, church or youth activity, I'm going to be walking out the door at 9 o'clock. That didn't always happen, but I was generally out of the door by 9:15. Then I could go home, and I actually could. Then I had no excuse for not getting the sleep that I needed because I wasn't home. as it were.
I would also say, if it just feels like you can't get the work done, that don't be afraid to tell your school board that, and they might. Yeah, we were talking about how to fit something into my daily schedule. My school board asked me if we could fit something in, and I was looking at my schedule, and I'm like, I don't really see anywhere this could go in. But they looked at the schedule, and they're like, well, what about right there? It's like, oh yeah, duh. It would fit right there. There was a slot for it. So sometimes having an objective perspective on it can really help, and they might be able to give you some, and they might decide that there is too much that they're expecting from you and the students, and they might decide that some changes need to be made. I want to say something yet about technology. Do you want to know how much time I can waste on my phone after school? good, because I'm not going to tell you, and I don't know for sure how much I can spend on my phone after school. But I do know that it is frightful how quickly time can go when I'm not, yeah, when I'm on my phone. There are things that have been helpful to me, such as putting my phone on silent so I cannot hear either an audible tone or even a buzz of the phone when a message comes in. Because you know how that is. As soon as you hear that, what is it? It's hard to focus on what you're doing. Now, even if I have my phone sitting on the desk like this, and I even see there that I have some notification that I want to look at, but if I have it like that and I can see the screen and I see it light up, that's even enough. Even if I don't hear anything, that's enough to get my mind distracted. So you can do what you want with that. I like to, if I don't want to know what my phone's doing, I turn it upside down or set it away from me so I intentionally have to stand up and go get it if I think I need it. Or even sometimes just turning it off completely, because people can't contact you then. Or you can work in the middle of the night and then you don't really have a lot of phone distractions either. It's already been mentioned that you need to try to take time to do stuff outside of school that is not connected with school. And that's going to do a lot in getting you refocused. And it'll be easier to do the hard tasks if you have a break. And I don't know how you're supposed to fit in those breaks always with all the other stuff that we're expected to do. But it's important. So if there's a big task that you're not sure how to get done and it's just getting put off and put off and put off, I would suggest this. Set aside a specific amount of time that you will work on that. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 30 minutes, but just decide I'm going to work on that. And you'll be amazed at how fast stuff can get done. It really is a profitable thing. Even if it's just a little bit of time every day. What else do you have to share?
That was something I wasn't used to teaching back in Pennsylvania. We never checked together as teachers. But it was a great idea, man. This last year. Sorry, I kind of knew what I was doing.
Yeah, you need that.
Yes.
That refreshing time with your teachers.
You do need that, most definitely.
It's easy to just.
One year that I taught, we had four teachers. We had a foosball table. Four people, foosball, perfect. But I'm kind of ashamed at how much time we spent on foosball. It was great fun, and it was a really good stress reliever. Just hitting stuff there, you know. But we used up a lot of valuable work time. So, yeah. It was a mixed blessing. What? Anything more that you have on your mind about this? Did I forget to mention that one? I sure did. Thank you for bringing that up. Pray about it. And ask others to pray for you about it. That's okay. If they know that you struggle with it, because likely they do as well. And ask God specifically to change your attitude about it. Yeah, be specific. He likes to hear when, or I believe he does, when we make specific requests of him. Thank you for bringing that in. And you know, it might hurt sometimes if you're really truly wanting what God wants in this area. It might hurt. You might have to change some stuff that kind of is hard, but he's faithful in that. Right.
And if you take the time to do it, there's probably times you've gone and done it.
Yeah.
And in the course of conversation with somebody, they're like, hey, do you still checking to do? Do you still have this to do? I'll tell people.
Oh, yeah.
that's just like, hey, I took the time. It was a refresher to me.
Yeah. Take the time. It's probably kind of like what that verse says about cast your bread on the water and it'll come back to you. More than you even gave.
You know, and there is also the fact that sometimes we have to follow what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Cut it off and cast it from you. Take something in your life that you enjoy doing,
mm-hmm.
but it's being a hindrance, you just have to get rid of it.
Right.
And keep it with
mm-hmm.
you. Know, I remember I had something one time that was giving me trouble, so I got rid of it. Well, a couple of days later, I wanted it back, so I got it back. I haven't gotten rid of it again, but it's easy just to get rid of it and say, that's going to help my procrastination. Well, you've got to keep it.
Right.
And that's not fun, to have to cut something like that off.
Right.
One thing I never really did, but I'm just thinking I probably should, is just humble myself and share my problem with somebody
mm-hmm.
and just kind of be accountable.
Right.
Not really having such a
yeah.
procrastination just build up
mm-hmm.
and just snowball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That struck a little bit of fear in my heart when I first thought about that. I don't remember what, maybe it was when Austin was talking about the principal giving him a piece of paper. And you said something about the school board finding a little spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of somebody looking over my shoulder and wondering if I would, you know, maybe, what are you doing with that?
Right.
You know, but if we're really humble, it probably wouldn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, it's a good thing.
Which steps are a couple of things.
Yeah, I really believe that that's why God put us in a setting to teach with parents around, school board, the church, everybody, your peers even, sometimes can be a help in just the common sense stuff that sometimes just does not sink into me as a teacher.
You kind of get stuck in a rut sometimes.
Right.
So
quickly can get stuck in a rut. And of course, your way is always the right way. I know that, but... So, don't be afraid to make changes. Don't be afraid to talk to others. Don't be afraid to, do something about it. Because I really believe we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our students, and we owe it to God to make sure we use this time wisely that He's given us. Thank you so much for being here and for participating in the class.